Please input command codes.
Tango. Whiskey. Alpha. Tango.
Command codes verified.
Now establishing data link.
Systems online.
Plot Radio, episode 89, RFID, with Nightlord.
Okay, Mystic.
Okay, so today's plot is all about RFID, and some of you may not know what RFID is.
Yeah, what is RFID?
RFID stands for Radio Frequency Identification, and basically what it is a little chip embedded in something that has information on it. And with a little reader, you can scan over it and get the information that's on that little chip. So, we got into this by Low-Tech picked up a book. And what was that book called?
It's RFID Toys.
And who wrote that book?
It's written by a guy named Amal Grosra. I'm slaughtering his name. But excuse my Kentucky twang, and I'll spell his name. His first name is Amal, A-M-A-L. His last name is spelled G-R-A-A-S-S-T-R-A. And you give it a shot at home, too. But it's the Extreme Tech line of books. You may have seen, like, this book was in a bright, flashy lime green. But there's, like, a purple one about the iPod and one about modding your car.
I've seen one about hacking Windows XP and a few other ones, too. There's quite a few in the series.
Yeah, they've got the hacking Firefox.
Yep.
Right. This was a $25 book, and the ISBN number, for all those interested at home, is 0471-771961. So if you're at all interested in the stuff that we talk about, check this book out. Look for it in your local bookstore, and go to your local library and tell them to get this, so that way you can look at it for free and everyone else in your local area can too.
It's a really nice book, and it started the basic groundwork of what we're going to talk about today. The book is laid out in chapters of different projects, and it's actual practical hands-on stuff that you do. It's not just theory or whatever. It actually tells you the parts list and how to actually take these things apart and put it all together and wire it up, and it includes source code, applications that you can download, and all that fun stuff. So it's a really good book for $25. I suggest anybody interested in any of this to go out and try to find it. So
and I'll admit it was an instant buy. Like, the moment I saw it and I flipped through the pages, I didn't have to think about it. I just walked straight to the register. This book was mine.
That's right. And then you called me a day or so afterwards, and I said, well, I'm going to go get it too. And I did the same damn thing, walked in Barnes & Noble, straight at the computer section, saw the book, grabbed it, it was mine. So it's a good book. But basically, what RFID is, like I said, is radio frequency identification. Now, there's two standards in general. They're trying to standardize it so everything's more compatible between different location stores, you know, different applications like smart shelves and shipping and receiving and, you know, inventory tracking and security systems and all that stuff, but they're trying to standardize it as much as possible.
Right. From what I'm understanding, they're wanting to implement a system like the barcode system as far as with RFID chips, so that each barcode acts just like a MAC address as far as your computer hardware. So they want to do it where each tag would be individual, but yet on a universal system. So any tag that was scanned, you would be able to know what that tag represented.
Exactly. Now, when you're talking about tags, you may wonder what a tag is. Now, a tag generally is a small chip embedded in some kind of device. They come in like buttons or cards or stickers. There's printable types that you can run through a laser printer or a inkjet printer. And basically, it's just this little chip, and it's got some sort of antenna, which is basically just an extended integrated circuit that runs out of the chip that coils around whatever it is that it's using. So if it's the card, it coils, you know, three or four times around the perimeter of the card, or you know, you can get the idea.
Now, and we've all seen these. If everybody's went and bought a DVD or a CD or maybe even a book by chance recently, you may notice that if you bought a book, for example, and like in the middle of a book, there might be just a little white plastic square in the middle on one side, and the other side was just a bunch of lines wrapping around, you know, in a circle on the other side, or maybe opening up the inside of your DVD case after you buy it, you may notice a little white sticker or a little white rectangular tag. Those would be RFID tags, and you notice when you checked out, the person who checked you out of whatever store you were in, they would have scanned the DVD over a little black thing that would have deactivated the card, so when you walk through the little exit cattle prod gates, no alarms would go off because the chip was deactivated.
Right. Now, with the chips or with the tags, there's two different types of tags. There's a passive tag and an active tag. A passive tag is basically what it sounds like. It just sits there. There's no power to it, and that's generally what most tags are passive tags, because they're extremely cheap. And a passive tag holds data, and they could either be write once or multiple writes. And write once means that the data can be imprinted on it one time, and that's it. So it's good forever. And the writable tags you can rewrite, of course. And the active tags have a power source, and they actually broadcast their signal. So you can, it extends the range of a read, because a passive tag, usually you have to be within 30 inches or so with the reader and able to pick up the information off the tag. But an active tag, you can be as far away as 10 feet and be able to pick up the tag. And active tags are much more expensive because it requires a power source. But generally, the active tags are always rewritable. I've seen a few applications where they're write once, but generally they're writable because they're so expensive they want to be able to reuse them.
Now, the only real downfall with the active tags is that they're only good really for maybe 3 to 5 years. The ones we've got right now before the battery dies, and then once
exactly.
The battery goes out, you pretty much have to buy another one.
Exactly.
They're not ideal for long-term storage.
They're mostly used for shipping large quantities, like boats at a dock or whatever. So the attendant there that's scanning the inventory to make sure that nothing's missing, they can walk up to a whole pallet of things and, you know, just flip on their reader, and it will grab everything that's on that pallet instead of having to try and find every individual tag or whatever. So those are the two types of tags. And inside the tags, okay, and with those two types of tags, the active and passive tag, because it uses radio frequency, of course it's got to be on a certain frequency. And they're working on the standard, like we said, but there isn't a real standard because there's still proprietary frequencies that are used on, you know, cards for businesses that have their own systems and things like that. But generally, the most common that somebody will see in the U.S. anyway is either 125 kilohertz or 13.56 megahertz. The 125 kilohertz is the U.S. standard, and the 13.56 is the international standard. So generally, anything coming from overseas that has RFID is probably going to have that 13.56, because the standardization is a lot better overseas or in international countries than it is in the U.S. because people don't want to conform here. But the 125 is for domestic stuff, and like if you go to Walmart or whatever, that's what their tags will be, is 125 kilohertz. And each of those different tags has a separate reader. There's no one reader for everything, so you have to have one or the other. And in that book, RFID Toys, they recommend one reader for each type, because they talk about both types in there. And the 125 kilohertz reader is made by Fidget or something like that. It's spelled P-H-I-D-G-E-T. The website is phidgetusa.com. And that retails for $60, and that's, again, a 125 kilohertz reader. So that's not that bad. It's a USB device, comes with all the drivers and software and everything you need, so you plug it into your laptop or your PDA if you have a USB port or some kind of attachment that gives you a USB port on it. You can plug it into that as well, and that will scan both passive and active tags, anything that runs 125 kilohertz. But the 13.56 megahertz reader is quite a bit more, and you can buy just the module, just the reader module, and build a reader yourself, and the module will cost you close to $400. So there's quite a bit of difference. And that's because of the change of frequency, because you're going from a low frequency to a high frequency. So it costs more money to manufacture the high frequency ones than it does the low frequency ones. So there's a lot of applications for this type of stuff. And they use it all over the place, and you may not even know it. Like we were talking about the CDs and the DVDs and things like that, they use it for security systems. And
that type of application is like with the CDs and DVDs. That's definitely more of an anti-theft system.
Exactly. Yes, definitely.
Or just keep the property on this side of the fence, so to speak. Some of the newer types of technology that they're implementing that you may be able to notice at your local stores, especially with like the little razors, like the little pack of four razors that cost almost $8-$10 sometimes. The really super extreme razors, we all know what I'm talking about, those are implementing an actual RFID tracking system so that there are some setups actually discussed, whereas every time a package would be lifted from the shelf, there would be a small camera that would take a picture of the person who lifted the razors, to even the possibility of just most systems, just when you lift the razor, the package of razors off the shelf, it notes that, okay, one has been taken off at this time. And so it's more of an internal inventory system.
Inventory tracking is definitely a good use for something like that, because somebody, a stockman or whatever, could basically just walk down the aisle with the reader, and, you know, by the end of the aisle, they'll see, you know, the quantity of each individual item that they have. And they'll know what they have to restock instead of going through by hand and checking all the boxes and all that stuff. And it's a really good application for that kind of stuff, too. And there's another thing that's pretty cool that goes along with that, and that's called a smart shelf, and I'll let Low-Tech tell you about that.
The smart shelf is one of the projects discussed in the RFID toys books. It's one of the ones that that caught my eye, and I thought would be actually practical for the average person. In a home environment, we've all got a lot of books, DVDs, backed up stores, stuff like that. And sometimes, especially as years pass, we tend to forget where we put what and where what was. So by using a smart shelf, which is RFID enabled, you pretty much build an antenna base on the bottom of your shelf. And then every item that you put onto the shelf, whether it be a CD case, a book, or whatever, you have an RFID tag in there. You label such their tag with whatever item it is. So if it's backup storage from the year 2005, you put that on the RFID label. And then as long as that CD was on the shelf, you would know, okay, so instantly with a glance at a computer screen, this would all be connected to your home PC. You would instantly, at a glance, know everything that was on that shelf. So for those of us who tend to be a little more cluttered and can't seem to change our ways, we could just implement a lot of RFID shelves in our room, and even though everything may be cluttered, it may be a little more easier to locate certain items. Also, I've toyed around a lot with the idea of, like, going a step further from just the smart shelf, and also maybe I've been daydreaming with the idea if it's possible to put up a reader like around the doorway. So if you had like any items that way that were RFID tags, you would know if they ever left the room. So that way, if you had taken something out of the ring or someone else had, this might give you a little bit better of security or absent-mindedness.
Yeah, you would know just right off the bat. You could look and see if it exited the room, and then you know, well, I'm not looking in this room because it's not in here.
Yeah, and for even some items that shouldn't leave such bedroom, you could even set up like a security marker, and so it could actually send out an alert, whether, you know, to your email. And so there's a lot of settings and options for the RFID little programs that are going right now.
There's tons of stuff you can do with it. And as far as the software goes, anything that you buy out of that book, you get the source code for that application, you know, whether it be for the smart shelf or for the remoteless entry system or any of that. You get the source code for all the programming, so you can, you know, modify that and cut and paste and all that stuff is free. You can actually go get that now. All you have to do is sign up at their forums at RFIDtoys.net, and you can actually go get the software right now for all that stuff. And you could easily program, you know, something like Lowtech was saying that would automatically email you something if it left the room, so you got a time and a day. Or you could log, you know, have a logging system or anything like that. It would be so easy. And most of it is written in .NET, so it's like C#, mostly. And I think there might even be a few things in C++, but, I mean, you get all the code. So it's really, really easy to modify it to your needs. Some other applications that are in that book are remoteless entry systems or remote entry systems for your car and your door and also your computer. So those are a few cool things that you can do with it. With the remote entry system, I've toyed around with playing with the door, having an automatic door opener. And some of the projects in that book, you can crisscross different things because he gives you quite a few different methods, you know, between each project to accomplish what you need to do. And most of the stuff, I mean, close to all of the stuff actually, is really hands-on, like the keyless entry for your door. The kit that he recommends that you buy, you actually have to solder every single piece onto the board to get it to work, and it runs on relays. So you can program up to 8 tags in it. And then when a tag comes close that works, you know, that it recognizes, it flips that relay, which flips the automatic door lock on your car, and it unlocks the door. The same thing with your home door, it does the same thing. But the problem with the project for the home door is it requires a PC to be real close. And he talks about, there's a device in there that he discusses that is a USB wireless bridge, and it allows you to turn a USB device into a wireless device. And so, like, you could have your computer upstairs or whatever, and downstairs you have your USB reader hooked up to this bridge and mounted close to the door, and it would be, in the sense, it would be like it was connected to your computer upstairs. So you wouldn't have to necessarily have one sitting by your door, but if you only got 2 people coming into your house, then why not build... You know, take the application where you build the relay system from scratch for your car and implement it that way, so you have 0 computers involved in it. It's all, you know, straight hardware, so you can mount that on a box right on the inside of your door with the wire running to the activator on the lock, and you wouldn't have to worry about having a computer or anything like that. But you do miss a few things by going that route. And one of the things that he talks about when you use the computer application is you can log when people come in and out of your door. So that would be a good idea for like a data center or your computer room, wherever your stuff is. You know, that might be something that you want to think about for that. But like for your front door, it's more practical to not have a computer set next to your front door.
Yeah, I could see more practical applications in a small business type of environment.
Oh, definitely.
Was wanting to say maybe like for the storage room or sensitive areas, you know, this project right here would be an easy way to set restricted access and also log access.
Exactly. And it's real easy to do. Once you get the parts, it would take you maybe a couple hours to get the whole thing done. So, and a lot of the projects are that way, and it really comes down to just having the money to get the parts, because, you know, I'm going to be honest with everybody, that stuff isn't cheap in that book. It is not cheap. The book is cheap, but the stuff in the book is not cheap. So, you know, be ready for that when you when you get the book and you start looking at these projects and the parts list, and you're looking on the internet for this stuff, and it's, you know, because even the most basic project, because most of the projects in this book require a basic stamp 2 chip, programmable chip, that works a lot of the relay systems and things like that. And the chip itself is only $40. But to program the chip, you have to buy the microcontroller card. And you can get a kit that includes a chip and a microcontroller card for $125. So there's that. And then the miscellaneous other parts, which only total about $5. And then the reader, which is $60, plus the computer. And if you go with the bridge, then that costs more. So even for just the first project, you're already talking close to $250 for the whole thing. So, you know, it's and that's the very basic first project in the book. I mean, and it just gets worse from there. And especially when you get into the high-frequency stuff, you know, you're really taking a hit. I've gotten quotes from that company. I can't think of it right off the top of my head. But for the high frequency, but the microcontroller to program it, the kit costs $1,500 to get the whole kit, and it actually comes with 4 chips or 4 modules, but it's still $1,500. So, you know, be ready for that as well.
Yeah, I believe that pretty much eliminates the casual average.
Yeah, this isn't, you know, the technology is really cool. And the information you can learn is really cool, and the possibilities are endless. But, you know, if you're just a casual person that just wants to pick it up as a hobby, this is not a cheap hobby. So, you know, the book is very informative, and you don't have to buy anything to learn anything. Like, I've not built one of these projects yet, but I've read that whole book from back to front, and I've learned a whole lot about it. So, I mean, it's definitely good reading material, but, you know, it's not necessarily practical to actually do any of these things. Unless you're doing them for work or something like that, then, you know, you can use the information that you gain from this book to project that into your business or whatever. But as a casual, you know, unless you have a couple $100 kicking around, it's more than likely you're not going to actually use any of this stuff. So, you know, a few of the projects that I've come up with, from piecing things back and forth between the different projects in that book. One of them was a all-in-one scanner, reader, writer, broadcaster, which basically it has the readers for both frequencies, and it switches back and forth between the two. And when it detects something, there's an LCD screen built into the unit that displays the information. And you can take that information and punch it into a keypad and emulate an active RFID, because the readers don't care whether it's passive or active. It just cares that it's on the right frequency. So that was one of the projects I was playing around with building. But that costs a lot of money and a lot of ingenuity to do it, because you would have to, I mean, getting the readers and everything isn't a problem. Getting the LCD and all that stuff isn't a problem either, because the basic stamp uses a language called PBASIC, which makes everything really easy to write. And it has an optional LCD module that you can buy with the starter kit that you can output text to. So that wouldn't even be an issue. The issue really comes down to rebroadcasting information, programmable information. So, you know, if you have a lot of experience with electronics and radio frequencies, then, you know, I'm sure you can do it. But me, myself, I'm, you know, a noob to the electronics stuff. So, you know, it was something I could whip up right quick. You know, it would take a lot of planning and a lot of research and, you know, knowing people that know how to do stuff and things like that, which, you know, hasn't come up. So if anybody out there knows anything about it and would be willing to help me out with that, then maybe we could talk and try to figure something out. So I don't know, Low-Tech, what other kinds of stuff have you thought about doing? Anything custom?
I know for those people out there that are interested in the RFID subject, as it is a growing trend in our society, it's being used in more and more things. I know this is an excellent place to start learning about it. The book itself, the RFID toys, a lot of the chapters and everything, the book itself kind of reminds me like Legos. A lot of the parts, ideas, and concepts from each chapter, and everything is very interchangeable and
very
comparable. I mean, just going through the book alone, I mean, there's just thousands of possibilities kind of pour out through the brain. Now, and the problem is here, I don't know how many of these are actually feasible because, you know, I've not really started working with the technology. But, I mean, you know, the moment you start understanding how it works, you understand that there's a lot of possibilities for it, and really the only main thing that's really holding you back is the cash.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a complicated...
It's not
extremely complicated. It's not overly easy either, but I mean, if you can war drive, you know, you can RFID drive, or
right,
whatever it would be called, you're smart enough to work with computers and more likely be listening to this, then it's within the learning curve. If it's something that my country bumpkin self can pick up and understand, then it's not beyond anybody.
I wouldn't give yourself that bad of a rap, dude. But but like Low-Tech said, if you can war drive, then you can RFID scan. I mean, it's the same damn thing, just on a much smaller scale. And it costs a whole lot more. So, you know, go out and, you know, check out the book, even if you're, you know, at a Barnes & Noble, just pick it up and read it. You know, just put through the first chapter and see if it sparks your interest and then buy it, because it's a fucking sweet book. But I think that probably covers the basics of RFID. If you have any questions about it or would like to contact us, you can reach me at my email at nightlordkn1ghtl0rd@hotmail.com.
And you can reach me, lowtechmystic@gmail.com. It's LOWTEKMYSTIK.
And you can always, always jump into poundinfonomicon on freenode.net, because we are in there and the Infonomicon crew is the shits, and there's a lot of cool people in there that have a lot of cool ideas, and everybody's welcome, and we op everybody. So you come in and, you know, you feel like you're part of the family. So make sure you come and check that out and keep listening to TWATech. And don't forget about some of our other sister sites, which are ninjanightschool.com, which is Low-Tech's radio show. If you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. Also, we have podcastincubator.com, and there's quite a few shows on that, and actually Low-Tech is the admin, so I'll let him take over and tell you about that a little bit.
Podcast Incubator is a site that offers free bandwidth and free space for a site for any of those new fledgling podcasts out there. A lot of times there's a cost involved to doing the podcast or broadcasting on the internet. And so to help those who are interested in doing it but not quite sure if it's what they want to do or how they want to go about doing, here's a spot where you can come and you don't have to worry about so much the financial end of it. You know, we'll cover the bandwidth and the space for your site, so all you really have to concentrate on is your show. So it's a nice place for anybody interested in it coming out with the show can come to podcastincubator.com and check us out.
And as personal information, my show is on there as well, and it is super easy to use, and the guys do a great job with it, and you get an RSS feed for it that is is, you know, it will get you everywhere you need to be, so you don't have to worry about none of that stuff, because we do it all for you. So keep checking with that for new shows, and go listen to some of them if you haven't. And thanks for everybody for listening, and a few shouts to the info crew, which is Low Tech, of course. Thanks for coming.
And
Petrillo, and Droops, and Fizzone, and Iron Geek, and Ponyboy, and a couple new additions to the crew are Living Dead and Downer. And Living Dead did a whole lot of work on the new Twat site, and Downer did a whole lot of graphics work on the new Twat site, so they've been admitted into the club. So this is, I guess, the official announcement for that.
Transfer complete.
Computer, execute complete shutdown of the holodeck.
Affirmative.
I just love scanning for life forms.
Life forms. You tiny little life forms. You precious little life forms. Where are you?